and lonely. For the broken and afraid, this is for those who are hurting, hoping help is on the way. When fear is chasing after me, whatever troubles I am facing, I will lift my hands and sing. I believe in miracle power, in a wonder-working God. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, working wonders in my heart. I belong to a loving Father. I'm a friend of Christ's Son. When it feels like I won't make it, I call on Jesus.
We call on Jesus.
Oh. Sometimes it's so hard. Struggle, so much pain, yes there is. When I start singing hallelujah,
come on, lift your hands to heaven.
I say goodbye to every chain.
I believe
in miracle power, in a wonder-working God. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, working wonders in my heart. I belong to a loving Father. I'm a friend of Christ, His Son. When it feels like I won't make it, I call on Jesus. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, working wonders in my heart. I belong to a loving Father. I'm a friend of Christ's Son. When it feels like I won't make it, I call on Jesus. And I call on Jesus.
Oh, we call on Jesus. Oh,
Jesus.
Come on, lift up a shout of praise.
You, Lord.
Yeah.
Woo. You were the Word in the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High.
Come on, lift it up.
Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want her born without her, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater than what could separate us now. What a wonderful name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Oh! Come on, death could not hold you. You took the keys to the grave. Let's just worship him right now in spirit and in truth. Come on. Death could not hold you.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin that grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are
lift his name high. Oh, death could not hold you. And death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the voice of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. And yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
We just speak Jesus. Oh, we speak Jesus. We speak life. We speak love. We speak Jesus. Oh, what a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this, What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. And sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. And sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to You, the only wise King. Holy, holy, and holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Oh, we lift up our praise. We lift up our praise. We want to sing a new song to You, Jesus, filled with wonder. And filled with wonder, oh, awestruck wonder at the mention of Your name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Come on, church. This is a praise party. Amen. Oh, we love You, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Oh, we praise You. Oh, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Isn't us God?
from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. One more time, come on. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Come on, praise Him.
Worthy of our praise. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Well, as was mentioned, Pastor Chip was not feeling well this morning, so he asked for somebody to step up to the plate. And as Marvin and I and the rest of us were talking this morning, some of the elders of the church and so forth, Marvin felt strongly that he has a word that the Lord wants to share. What's happening with Pastor Chip right now it's a surprise to us, but it's not a surprise to the Lord. So I'm not surprised that the Lord gave our brother, our elder, this word. So please welcome him and be prepared to hear what the Lord wants to share. Amen.
Good morning, Pleasant Valley. Wow. I got Chip's mic, so it's so loud. this morning, I went to pick up my little buddy here, and sitting outside, and him and I were talking, and my phone rings, and it's Chip. I'm going, uh-oh, what'd I do now? Because I was actually late for our meeting. We have a meeting every Sunday morning, and I'm thinking he was going to call me about the meeting. So as he's talking, it sounds like he's running or something. He's like, man, I'm in trouble. I need some help. And I says, where are you at? What's going on? He says, I'm at home. I said, oh, you need me to come up there? He says, no. He says, I'm not feeling good. And I said, okay. I said, what's the trouble? I need to come up and do something? He said, you called the wrong guy if you need somebody to come do something, because I'm pretty much useless. And he said, no, I need somebody to be ready if I don't show up at 11 or 11:15. I need somebody to be ready to speak. So I said, well, you know, I'm always ready to talk. I don't know how good I speak in front of the people, but I'm always ready to talk. So I don't think there's anything wrong with him. I think it's one of those setups that he does with me. He did this with me with his Sunday school class a long time ago. And what he does, he forces me to get in the word a lot more. He forces me to try to understand what the word of God is saying. He did that with Sunday school, and now I'm hooked. So I think that's what he's doing. He's probably okay. He's probably sitting there laughing, watching this morning laughing, going, I got you again. But something was sticking out to me. Because Chip is talking a lot about unity. And a lot of churches, you know, we're talking about unity in this hour, in this time. And Thursday night, we had a board meeting. And he went over some of the same scriptures he did, what he was teaching Sunday. And the one really stuck out. And I was going to try to help you guys look at it a little bit deeper and a little bit, stop there and pay attention to what it's really saying. And I think it was Ephesians 3. We're not just going to hang there, but this is where we're going to. And he says, it says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Okay, so I want to try to see what's going on when we're doing that. Okay, because that's important. Because that says, it's not telling me that, look, you got to get unified with Andre. You got to get unified with Matt. It's telling me, hello, There we go. It's telling me that I need to be unified of the Spirit, unified in the Spirit. It says the unity of the Spirit. Okay, and then it talks about a little bit more, but I want to go back just a little bit in Ephesians and sort of explain what Paul's doing with the Ephesians. So what Paul's doing when he comes to his different churches that were built up. So Paul goes back to the Ephesian church, and they had a few issues here and there, which all churches do. But Paul's trying to address their issues so that they can all come to, and Chip's mentioned this, the fullness of Christ. Okay, and Paul tries to address all these churches, all the churches that he writes these epistles, letters to. And he comes to Ephesians, and he's telling them, like, God's purpose for the church now. Okay, once we all become saved and we all join the body, we're Christ, we're the church, we're Christ's body, we're the body of Christ now. Okay, so, but there's something working in us that usually we don't even know is going on inside of us because it's an internal thing, it's a God thing, it's what God is doing inside of us. And if we don't understand it, it's hard for us to submit to it. It's hard for us to just say, oh, that's what God's saying. Because I know me, normally, what God is telling me is the things that make me happy, the things that cause me joy. Okay? And I remember last time I was up here, I gave you guys that example. I wanted a new truck. And man, I could hear God saying, yes, you need a new truck. Because that's what I wanted. So I'll pray. And finally, God said, get a new truck. But was he really saying that? Was God actually saying that? Well, in this case, he was. So I got the truck. But so, okay, let's back up. So in Ephesians, Paul says, he says this in chapter 1, verse 1. It's the greeting. And he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ, by the way, this is in NASB version or something. People don't really like that. I don't have the New King James version, which most people like King James. But once we study and get down to what it's saying, it means the same thing. People say, I don't like that version. Well, that's because you're only reading it topically and looking at it and going, oh, I don't like that word, that word. But the meanings, when you get down and study them, it means the same thing. God's not standing there saying, here's my infallible written word. And then somebody comes along and makes a Bible and it don't mean the same thing. We don't think God's powerful enough to stop that from happening. That's just a little disclaimer. So it says, here's Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. How many of us know that it's only by the will of God that the apostle Paul became apostle of Jesus Christ? Because like me, Paul was persecuting the Christians. He was definitely on the other side of this, where he's at now. He was an enemy of God. So that really is why I really relate to Paul, because man, I could see me going around saying, behead those Christians, get them. I could see that in my life. But by the will of God, he says, so to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So he ain't talking to just some folks that was just hanging around the church coming in. He's keying in on the saints, on the faithful. So why would you think he'd have to come and straighten out the faithful? They're faithful, right? Man, you don't need to fix me. I'm faithful. Yeah, I need a lot of fixing. Okay. So he says, grace to you and peace from our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. I'm not going to get stuck on it, but a grace. One thing about grace I just learned maybe a couple of years ago was I thought, hey, I got grace and I'm good. You know, whatever I do, Jesus died for that. I'm moving on. But if we look at what God's grace is, saying God's grace is Jesus Christ to us, that yet while we were enemies, he brought us into his family. And now he's indwelled us with the Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit causes me to live in a way that I can glorify Christ, that I can live righteous, what God's made me righteous, but the Holy Spirit inside of me causes me to live in a righteous way. So if I think grace says, I can do whatever I want, like grading on the curb, it ain't so bad, God doesn't care, then I think I got my grace mixed up. See, what grace does, it supplies what I need to be live righteous unto God. Grace supplies that for me. So if I don't get my mind wrapped around that, then I got a hard time when I look at what Scripture says based on how I live. I have a hard time following Jesus. Jesus also says this one, in John, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Then he turns right around the next verse. He says, if you keep my commands, that's what tells me you love me. That means you love me. And I start thinking of my life, man, I don't keep all the commands. I keep a few because I like those, but do I keep them all? So do I really love Jesus? It's tough. And it says I'm supposed to be measuring myself against what the word says, right? So that's what this is for. So let's skip to chapter 2. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for you to pull that up, but that's cool. Very good. So can we go to chapter 2, verse 1? We'll start right in verse 1. And here's a reason why we should be unified. It helps us to be unified. Here's the reason here. So he says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. That was me. According to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That was I. Very disobedient. Ask my mom. I was really disobedient. Okay? And I lost my place. Okay. Verse 3, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, there's that grace again, which is causing me to live righteous. You have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in ages to come, he might show surpassing riches of his grace and the kingdom toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. We like saying that one. I like that. It's a gift of God, not by your works, so you can't boast. I like to boast. You know, look what I did, guys. We all think, oh, I talked to 10 people yesterday, and some guy, I like to boast. But I don't know if that's bad or not. What do you think, Bill? Is that bad? If I'm using that to show how righteous I am, that's bad. Right? I'm righteous because, look, I see my hands are in there. Mine can't go up, so I can't fake that one. See how righteous I am? Woo! If I'm using that to show how righteous I am or show how saved I am, then yeah, that's wrong. I can't boast with that, right? So I told Lindy, I'm sorry, let me say this. I told Lindy that, you know, my messages have gotten real short because I deal with the kids downstairs teaching them, and you can only go about 10, 15 minutes, and they ain't paying attention no more. So So I told her, you might only get 10, 15 minutes, but she looked at me and said, yeah, I doubt that. I know how you like to talk. So Lindy, when time's up, you know, give me the wave of the hand there. So to say, saying that all this, that this is what God did for us. Okay, God's done all this for us. And for me, what this shows me is that when I was that enemy, when I was against God, he said, I'm going to call you into my family. And not only just that, not just call you into my family, but I'm going to do something inside of you that changes the way you act, changes the way you think, right? Changes the way you think about loving people, changes everything. Everything. Because the old me has to die, right? He don't change me. He doesn't conform my old self. He kills that thing, right? So the thing that he's conforming is that goofy mind that I got, right? Because see, like Paul, I was working my way to righteousness. You know, I was living like the greatest sinner on earth. But man, I was a nice guy. I mowed people's grass. I take the trash out. I paint people's house. I was doing all kind of good stuff. See, look at me. My hands are in the air. But I was living a life of sin. God said, that ain't going to get you to heaven, brother, because you're an enemy of mine. So what he did, he called me unto himself. He called me to his son. And he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you to my son. And once this gift to my son happens, my son says, well, Dad, thank you for this gift. Well, he might not say that. He's like, Dad, why this guy? But he says, you gave me this guy, I will not let him go. And he says, now, Father, because of that promise I've made to you about this gift, you better put something in him, because this guy's an idiot. He's not going to follow this. You better put something in him that's going to cause him to live in the way that you want him to live. Okay? So when I got saved, he gave me his spirit, the Holy Spirit. And what that spirit's doing inside of me is causing me, my mind, to wrap around what I'm learning in this word and go, oh, that's what God means by that. Oh, that's how I'm supposed to live. That's what he's doing inside of me. That's what's happening. Now, as I look at that, now I can look back and go, okay, how am I doing with that? Am I walking in the way that he's calling me to walk based on what he's doing inside of me? Or do I still hold on to that old man and say, yeah, but I like thinking this way about that one. So that's how I'm going to go. So it says, examine yourselves. Oh, the guys in men's group hate that one. And Jeff's laughing over there. Examine yourselves. So based on what we learned today, guys, examine yourself. Which side of that are you on? Okay, you say you're saved, and you say you've got the Holy Spirit in you, right? The Holy Spirit is telling you what we just talked about is truth. That's what he says. It's the Spirit of truth. He says when the Comforter comes, he's going to teach you all the things that I've taught you. Bring to remembrance. He's going to teach you all truth. So if it's true, the Holy Spirit is definitely weighing on you, letting you know that that's true. Why don't we accept it as truth? Well, because I like some of the old me. You know what? That one sounds okay, but, you know, I like doing this. So I stay there. Instead of where Chip talks about the fullness, that's where the fullness is at. If I stay here, if I stay what the Bible tells me that means. So let's go to where Chip was at, back to the verse, the first verse I started with, chapter 4. We'll go. Verse 1, chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, therefore, and men's group, kids group, therefore. What happens in therefore? Jeffrey? We got to go back and therefore. Why? Therefore what? Well, that's why I started in the beginning. Therefore, since God's done all those things, since he's enlightened me to what he's done in me, since he's showing me through his word what's happening inside of me now that I'm saved, therefore, let's read it. I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Chip went over this and he says, worthy of that calling. What's he called you to? What's he called you to? We went on, just talked about that. He's called you to righteousness. Right? He's calling you righteous. So he says, walk in a manner worthy of that. So do I walk in a manner showing that I'm righteous? Or do I walk in a manner worthy of the world? What is it? The prince of the world that's here? Do I walk in that manner? Or do I walk in righteousness? So what's righteousness? See, sometimes we read these verses and we go, oh, yeah, I'm walking. Well, wait, what is righteousness? Jeffrey, can you tell me what righteousness is? I don't want you to. I'm just picking with you. Right with God. Okay? Right. Do I walk in a manner that is right with God? Does everything I do line up with what God says in the scripture I should be? And so he says... These are hard, because I know they're tough for me. So he says, the manner which you've been called. So verse 2, he says, with all humility. Hard for me. I'm not a very humble guy. I look humble, because I can barely walk. But but when I look at someone and I say, so this is what the word of God is saying. Instead of checking myself, I'm checking them. And I'm going, dude, you're not getting that. And that's why he put me with Jeffrey. Jeffrey calls me to be humble. He's what the Lord put in my path to show me what humility is. Because Jeffrey's a very humble guy. He don't know it. He didn't know it, put it that. He knows now, but he didn't know it that he had that gift of humility. And he would, you know, we would sit down and we'd be talking about something. And I'm pushing these guys to, you got to get this. No, you're not doing it. You got to get this. And Jeff's told me, he says, look, man, he said, a lot of people ain't going to take that. He said, because when you first start talking to me, I wasn't willing to take it. He said, some people you got to ease into it. And I'm not an ease into guy. I like pedal to the metal. But he's, through what God did through Jeffrey, he's taught me how to ease off, listen. Because Jeff's a very listening guy. And we'd be in class and people would be talking and I'm going, yeah, 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 but. And Jeff's listening and he's saying, well, easy. And I'm like, no, no, they need to know the truth. Because the truth is what sets them free. But Jeff is going, but they ain't going to hear the truth yet. So he taught me humility. So when I look at someone else, I have to look at them, and they have a higher esteem than I hold than myself. So I have to look at them, and their need is better than myself. Okay, and I'm looking at them going, no, no, I know what you need. But the Lord's going, no, you don't know what they need. The Lord says, I'm the only one that knows what they need. Now will you just listen? And then listen to me as they're talking. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that. So he says, humility. I get hung up on that one because that's one for me. And gentleness with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Love. That's another one of those words. So what's love? What's love? That's a tough one because what's happening with love nowadays is we've incorporated a lot of the world's view on love. And we think in the church, man, we got to show these people that in order to get them so that they'll listen to us or have the ability to get to them. So the Bible tells me that God demonstrated his love by what? Sending Jesus to die for us. Right? Yet while we were still sinners. Right? So God's view of love is eternal. God demonstrates this love by bringing us from death to life. So am I loving people that much? Am I giving people what they need so that they can come from death to life? Am I demonstrating that type of love? That's tough. So I mean, I can't sit here and tell you how to do that. But we can look, and it tells me how I'm supposed to live my life, how I'm supposed to be, so that God can work through me, and that can happen to the people that I associate with, the people I'm around. Okay? So, moving on, verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit. So how am I unified with the Spirit that God's put in me? Because it's not saying preserve the unity of the body, which is us. It's saying to preserve the unity of the Spirit. So I think that when we read it, yes, we're supposed to be unified. But I think we work harder on me and Bill coming to the same conclusion about something. And that's probably not going to happen because Bill thinks away and I think away. But if Bill is preserving the unity of the Spirit, what happened back in chapter 2, where God's indwelled him with the Holy Spirit, God's done that. Now he's brought Bill from death to life, and now Bill's walking righteous with God. Everything God says in his word, he's walking in that way. And I do the same thing. There's no way in the world we won't be unified because we're doing and thinking the same thing. It's only one Spirit. Okay, so let me read a little bit more. There is one body, that's us, Christ's body, and one Spirit. That's God's Spirit that he put in us, right? Just as we were also called in one hope. What's the hope? We were called into one hope. Does anybody know what the hope is? Jeffrey, did he say Christ? Ah, okay. It's one hope, Christ Jesus. But it's a little bigger than even that. My hope is I become just like Christ Jesus. The hope is eternal life. The hope is when Jesus comes back and he says, church, come up. I'm going. And in the twinkling of an eye, I'm just like him. That's the hope that we've all been called to. So if I'm focusing on that hope that I've been called to, I don't care what Bill thinks. Doesn't matter what Bill thinks. If I'm focused on that, oh, guess what Bill did? Yeah, whatever. I'm going to heaven to be just like Jesus. Okay? That's the hope. So he says, it says, the hope of one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is over all, through all, and in all. And I'm ending it there. But if we can focus on being unified of the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit, okay? The unity of the church will happen. It'll happen. It has to happen because that's what the Spirit does. It unifies. It brings together. That's what it does. So if we could focus on each one, each single person, even online or whoever, each single person being unified with the spirit that God's placed in you and quit quenching the spirit as we said, quenching the spirit. That happens inside me. That's not happening out here. We can't quench the spirit out here. We're quenching it inside because the spirit's telling me something and I'm going, eh, I'm going to do my thing. Oh, what am I doing now? You hear me? Okay. I'm quenching the spirit that's inside me. So therefore, the spirit gets quenched. If we all do that, the spirit's quenched in here. That's the idea. So let's focus on the unity of the spirit of God that he's placed inside me, you, every one of us who are called to that hope. Okay? So, you guys don't look like the kids down the basement. You're all still looking at me. By now, they're heads down, they're on their phones, they're looking for candy, they're doing whatever. I could go on for another half hour. What do you think? But we won't. I really wanted to share with you guys. Chip Thursday called me a teacher. He says, we got to have some teachers. I'm not standing up saying I'm a teacher. I don't want to be a teacher. As they say, the teacher's going, you're going to have to stand up and give an account. I'm a sharer. So God teaches me things, and I learn things, and I just want to share. I just want to spread it. And when you get it, he says, take it in, look at it. Don't take my word for it. Go back, read that scripture, and prayerfully read it and say, okay, Lord, is that what you're really saying in this scripture? The one I hate, and I just told Bill, people say, what does it mean to me? Man, it don't matter what it means to you. This is what does God mean when he says that. Now, you have to take that and incorporate it into my life. If it fits me or what I'm not doing, now I need to do that. Okay, so we'll pray, and I think Ben is setting up here. He's going to... So, Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm not happy that Chip's feeling a little under the weather right now, but, Father, we just ask that, we know, Father, that he's in your hands. So we just ask that you comfort him right now, Lord. As soon as I get done and say amen, that he feels better. Because we know all things work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So, Father, you had a purpose this morning, Lord, is to make me more like your son, Jesus, by knowing the word and expounding on it, and sharing and helping others to understand what you're saying in your word, how it causes us to live in a way worthy of the calling that you've placed upon us, Lord. So, Father, I thank you for everything you've done this morning. And I thank you for everything you're going to finish doing today, Lord. We thank you and praise you. In your son Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Turn my mic on. We're going to go out of here with some praise.
You are here. You're moving in our midst. I worship you. Yes, I worship you. You are here. You're working in this place. I worship you. Yes, I worship you. You are here. You're touching every heart. I worship you. Yes, I worship you. You are here. You're healing every life. I worship you. Yes, I worship you. You are waymaker. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here. You're turning lives around. I worship you. Yes, I worship you. Jesus, you are here. You're mending every heart. I worship you. Oh, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. Lion of Judah, that is who you are. You're the Prince of Peace. That is who you are. Come on, sing, even when. Oh, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. And even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. That is who you are. Who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. One more time, just our voices. Oh, waymaker, miracle worker, lift it up. My God, that is who you are. Give God some praise.
Amen. Listen, Marvin gave a great word this morning. The worship was awesome. As we prepare to close now, anyone that wants to come down to the altar for more prayer, there'll be somebody down here to pray with you. If you want to close in song, and for those that are ready to leave, you may be excused. And have a blessed day. So, Father God, we just pray blessings on everyone as they go about the things that they need to do this day. And I pray that each and every one of us will properly represent you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Have a blessed day.